Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm sitting across the table this morning from this girl I really like, Debbie Shreve. And Debbie, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So we had a great weekend at First Baptist Texarkana, and we just had, starting Thursday night with C.C. Winans being here.
Incredible.
And, just a packed house. I think we had 2,300 people here, and the facility will hold 2,383, so they sold, I think they sold that many tickets, but you know, you always have a little bit of attrition. Not everybody that buys a ticket comes, but just a great, great time. Cece was such a wonderful person and so kind, such a great singer.
Can I tell just a couple of interesting things that happened during that concert? Well,
yes.
Not during, but even before. We had really bad weather that night. We were projected to, starting at about 4:30 or 5 that afternoon, to have really bad weather. And so we were thinking, oh goodness, what are we going to do with all these people that are waiting to get in if it's pouring rain, yada yada. So I think the people that were putting it on to kind of talk through some scenarios or whatever. Anyway, to make a long story short, the weather held off until pretty much the last couple of people got into the building, and then in like 2 or 3 seconds, it went from being just kind of cloudy looking to being just almost pitch black.
Yeah.
And we had this horrible storm. And then I would say 45 minutes into the concert, maybe 30, 45 minutes into CeCe performing, singing, we lost power.
Right.
And fortunately, we had a backup generator that kicked in, and so we didn't lose anything for very long. But normally, when our power in the whole facility goes out like that, it takes a significant amount of time for the power to come back on.
It does.
And this time, within a couple of minutes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, the power came back on. So it was just like, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord meant for good, because that night of worship just was not going to be stopped.
Yeah. Well, it was a great night. I got to meet a lot of wonderful people, and you know, I was talking to some of the black ladies that were there, and they dressed so nice. I told them, I said this, you just see a difference in culture because you guys come in and you dress so nicely and you look so beautiful and so many different colors. And so they said, well, we like to dress up, you know, when we come to an event like this. And it was just cool getting to hug on so many necks and being together as a family of God.
And our worship pastor, Quinn Stanfill, even said, you know, this is what heaven's going to be like. Because, I mean, the room was just, you looked all around and it was just different color everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was just really cool to just be, you know, in unity in that place, worshiping together and singing and lifting our voices together. And it was just a cool thing.
Really was. And then Sunday we had a great day. We had our membership class at First Baptist Texarkana, and we had, I think, 63 that came, and we had several that prayed to receive Christ. I had the privilege of praying with a young wife and mom, 27-year-old beautiful young lady, and just talking to her about the Lord. And her husband had said to me, he said, she's having trouble answering that question about, do you know for certain that you've received Christ? She doesn't really know what that means. And so I got to talk to her about it, and then pray with her about it. And then she was so funny because she was like, okay, about this baptism thing, can I do that like was not in front of a lot of people? And I said, here's the thing about baptism. That's your public declaration that you're not ashamed of Jesus. And so, you know, I said, I know you're nervous, but we'll, you know, you can't do it wrong. We'll walk you through it. It'll be great. And so she was willing. She had a willing heart. And so she's going to be baptized soon, hopefully next week or the week after. But anyway, you know, Debbie, we talked about in my sermon yesterday, I talked about four decisions.
Yes.
The birth of the early church. And there were four decisions that we see in Acts chapter 2. First decision is the decision of salvation.
Well, and they build on each other.
And they're consecutive. So
right.
You do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. So people need to know what has God called us to do? Well, when Peter, you know, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down, they're speaking in tongues, which was a known language that they had never learned, but all the people that were there for the feast, which were hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people to come to Pentecost, because the Jews were required to leave Galilee and all the other surrounding areas and come to Jerusalem for the great feast. You came for Passover. 50 days later is Pentecost. You were required in the law to come to that one. And then booths, which was in the fall, yeah, you came for that one. So the people heard them speaking of the mighty deeds of God in their native tongue, and they asked the question, what does this mean? That opened the door for Peter to preach. He preaches about Jesus. They all knew who Jesus was, and they knew that Jesus had been condemned by the religious leaders, and they had gone along with the religious leaders and said, okay, well, he must be a blasphemer. He must be a fraud. And so they condemned him to death. They were the ones that said, and not this man, but Barabbas, when Pilate wanted to release him. And so Peter throws the charge at them that you murdered the Messiah. God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So they were cut to the quick with conviction of sin. But can there be a greater sin than murdering
the Son of God?
Yeah, your Messiah, the one you've been mm-hmm. waiting for thousands of years. And when he comes, what do? You nail him to a tree. Now, they didn't actually take the hammer in their hands, but Pilate wanted to release him, and they went along with the leaders and said, no, not this man, but Barabbas. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, Pilate said, and they said, let him be crucified. And so, guilty of sin, cut to the quick, and then they asked the second question, brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter tells them, you need to repent. You need to turn back to God. You need to embrace the Savior. You need to make a public declaration that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And how do you do that? You do that through baptism. And so we talked about you put your faith and trust in Jesus, repent and believe. That's the first decision that every single person needs to make to enter into a personal relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ.
Well, let's pause there for just
pause.
A moment. Pause. Because it's significant, both of those words, because in our culture today, people, like you talked about yesterday, people don't have a problem with the believing element. They have a real problem with the repent element of that.
Right.
And but that's a foundational element. That is the element that without it, salvation does not take place.
Well, and I had mentioned yesterday that those words are like Siamese twins. They're together in Scripture in the New Testament. So when you truly repent, it's assuming that you're believing in Jesus. And when you truly believe in Jesus, it's assuming that you repent. That's why, so Paul says in Acts, or Luke says in Acts 2, coming in from the mouth of Peter, he wrote it, but he said, brethren, what shall we do? Repent. And let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He tells them to repent. In Acts 16, Paul tells the Philippian jailer, when he asks the question, what must I do to be saved? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Both of those things are critical, and they when the Bible talks about one, it's assuming the other. And so Jesus preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, he preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Paul said in Acts 17, God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repentance is key. That's turning from sin. Belief is putting your faith and trust in Jesus.
But don't you think, Jeff, that in our culture today, people are more than willing to say, hey, I believe in Jesus, but I believe that he loves me just like I am. And that's true, but he doesn't love you to stay that way, right? And so they just don't want to take a good look in the mirror and say, okay, but this right here that I'm engaged in my life, this does not line up with the Scripture. This mm-hmm. does not line up with what the Word teaches. This does not exhibit a holy lifestyle or whatever it may be. They just don't want to, they want to come to Jesus on their own terms. Maybe that's right. A better way to put it. And that's just not how it works.
No, it doesn't work like that. You come, I mean, God's not playing let's make a deal.
Right.
He's saying this is the deal.
Right.
And if you will leave the pigsty of sin and come to me in repentance and faith, I will receive you. I will wrap you in my arms of love. I will forgive you. I will change you from the inside out.
How you talked about that illustration yesterday with the prodigal and how he didn't stay in the pigsty. Kind of talk about that a little.
So everybody, I say everybody, most people, even non-Christians, are familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. Mark Twain called it the greatest short story ever written. It's found in Luke chapter 15, where Jesus said a certain man had two sons, and the younger son was the prodigal. He was the one that said, Father, I can't wait around forever for you to die. Give me this share of the inheritance that belongs to me. And so disrespectful, such a shameful thing that he did. When Jesus told that story, his listeners would have been just aghast. Like, what kind of son would do that? And what kind of father would not just immediately disown that sickening, disrespectful son? But he doesn't, and he gives him the share of the inheritance. Then the son wastes all the wealth on wine, women, and song. And then, as the parable goes, he runs out of money. A famine hits the land. No one was giving anything to him. You know, that the excitement of the far country lost its luster pretty quickly, and now he had to attach himself to one of the citizens of that country. He's working for a Gentile. He's a Jewish boy, and what does the Gentile do? He says, feed the pigs. And so it's just a picture of down, 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 and now you're at the bottom. But you think you're at the bottom. It got even worse because now he wants to eat the pig slop. And then he comes to his senses. That's a picture of conviction from the Holy Spirit. He shows you are, look what has happened to your life. And you're convicted about how you've made such a mess out of your life and how you've been so selfish and short-sighted. And now here I am. And he came to his senses and he said, wait a minute, my father's hired men. They don't eat pig slop. They have enough food to eat. He said, this is what I will do. I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and he left the pigsty to go to his father. That is a picture of repentance. You leave where you are. You turn from where you are. You say, I'm going in the wrong direction. You come to your senses, you recognize where you are, you turn from that, and you come to the Lord. And when you do that, what do you find? You find his arms open wide. You find his love and his embrace and his shoes on your feet and your robe on your back and your ring of authority on your finger. And he throws a party for you because there is more joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents.
Well, before we move on, Jeff, I just feel led to say this, that we may have some listeners today that you have a prodigal. You have a son or a daughter or a family member who has left the Lord, left the family, whatever the situation may be. And I just want to encourage you today that it is the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. So all that we can do is we can pray and ask the Lord to do that. Right. Ask the Lord by his Spirit to send people into that prodigal's life, to speak to them, to speak truth over them. And we just have to be faithful to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit that draws and that shows, hey, I need to get up and I need to leave. I need to go back to the Father.
Yeah, there's a verse in Proverbs that says the backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways. And so a good prayer to pray is that for your son, your daughter, your friend, your neighbor, your mom, your dad, whoever might be the prodigal, God make them sick to death and miserable in their sin, so that they would come to their senses, so that they would recognize, this is where I am. Mm-hmm. The allure of the far country, it always leads to the pigsty, and the sooner that we can see I'm in the pigsty, the sooner we can get out. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm joined today by my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the great things that happened this weekend. We're talking about the prodigal son. We're up against a break. Don't go away.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference. One significant way you can join us in this battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. Not only will the charitable gift annuity benefit you, but it will benefit the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
God made His design for marriage absolutely clear. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, it's the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. Strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Kathy Cook, Miki Addison, and many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net. Preborn celebrates that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, I have an offer for all our listeners today. I have in my hands the brand new book by my good friend Dr. Rich Halcombe. It's called The Leadership Strategy of Jesus, Living Intentionally in Ministry and Life. I was privileged to be able to get an advanced copy of this book and read it and thoroughly enjoyed it. Rich is a great author, really a good writer, and has great insights. And so if you'd like a copy of this book, we're going to give away 10 of these. And so this is all you need to do, just to email us book@fromhisheart.org, book@fromhisheart.org, to get in on this, and we will send you a free copy of this this brand new book. It helps you to really live a life of focus and purpose and mission, and it does it in a way that's very easy to understand how you can grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, as the scripture says about Jesus. So email us book@fromhisheart.org, and we will send out 10 of these, The Leadership Strategy of Jesus. Okay, so Debbie, we were talking about decisions yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana, and that first decision is to receive Christ, to repent and believe. And that's what Peter called the people to do who were guilty of being sinners against the Lord and such a terrible, horrible sin, as we all are, helpless, hopeless, horrible sinners. So they had to make a decision. The second decision is to be baptized. Repent and let each of you be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter said. And we talked about the fact that baptism, as now Church of Christ people will disagree on this, but baptism is not essential for salvation. It is critically important, and it's the first thing the Lord asks us to do as we identify with Him and His death, burial, and resurrection. And for those who say, oh, I believe in Jesus, I repent and put my faith and trust in Jesus, He's my Lord, He's my King, and when your Lord and King says, okay, the first thing I want you to do is give a testimony through baptism, that your inward conversion is an invisible thing, but your outward baptism is a visible thing. Give a testimony to all the world that you belong to me. No, I'm not going to do that. For me, I have serious, serious doubts that a person's ever truly been saved when the first thing that Jesus orders them to do, they say no to.
Right. And I think it's important that we go back to the fact that there is order to these decisions, because so often people might have, you know, made a declaration of faith when they were really young, but they didn't understand, and then they get baptized at a really young age. Then later in life, they realize, man, I didn't really know what I was doing then. This is now when this is really real to me. And so to make sure that your baptism is in the right order.
Right.
We talk about that a lot at First Baptist.
Well, and here's the thing. So people say, well, Acts 2:38, it's definitive. You have to be baptized in order for your sins to be forgiven. People that look at that one verse, then it's like, well, wait a minute. It says in Acts 16, the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? They didn't talk to him about baptism. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And then in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's nothing in Romans 10 said about baptism.
Well, what about the thief on the cross?
Thief on the cross didn't get baptized. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, he received the Holy Spirit when he believed, and he was baptized after that. And so if you receive the Holy Spirit, you are saved. You can't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and then say, oh, well, then, but you didn't get baptized, so you're not going to heaven. Obviously, if the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, you are a believer. That's what it means to be a believer. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so baptism, as we shared yesterday, vitally important because of what it pictures. But it is a work. And you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And for the Jews, John chapter 9, if anyone was found confessing Jesus as the Messiah, he was put out of the synagogue. The people were very afraid of the religious leaders, and they were very afraid of getting kicked out of the synagogue, because everything in Jewish life revolves around the synagogue. And so they were going to be secret disciples. And Peter in Acts chapter 2, he wasn't going to let anybody be a secret disciple. If you're going to repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus, then tell the world by getting baptized in the name of Jesus. And that, it says, those who received his word were baptized, and then they were added to the church. So as we talk about those decisions, first decision is to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to repent and believe. Second decision is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, put on the wedding ring, so to speak, of the Christian life. Third decision is you join the church. You get active and you participate in the life of the local church. The Bible knows nothing about a Christian who would not be connected to the local church. That doesn't make sense at all. That's like a bee that is just a lone ranger bee. He's not part of a hive. You don't have a bee like that, because bees were created to live in community, to live in the hive.
Right. And I think, and we saw so much of that happen during COVID, I think, where people drifted away, like just into the isolation of their homes, which, you know, at first it was 2 weeks, we can all do that, and then we know the debacle that followed. But they just, they got out of the habit of coming to church. They got away from seeing the significance and the importance of the command that God says, you know, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And I think most churches across the country probably are still numerically not back to where they were prior to COVID. Would you agree with that? I mean, we're getting closer. I mean, it's getting better. But I think there are still people, like, there are so many people that we still have never seen again.
Right. Yeah, that it knocks some people out. And it was a weed out, you know, for certain ones. You know, Jesus said in the parable of the tares among the wheat, I mean, that the devil sows tares, false converts in the church. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell who are the tares and who's the wheat. You know, Jesus said, did I not choose you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil? And he was speaking of Judas. And none of the other disciples knew that Judas was the betrayer. They didn't know that Judas was the tare among the wheat, but he was. And so I think a thing like COVID, just like persecution, you know, when Jesus told that parable of the four different types of soil, when the sun comes up on the shallow soil, the seed that was springing up has no firm root in itself because it's too shallow, and so the sun of persecution makes it wither and die. And I think we saw some of that. It is sad when people who claim to be Christians, whether they are or not, God knows, you know, the Lord knows those who are His, and the people deep down, I think they know if they've ever really given their heart to Christ. But we see people, they show up at Easter in big numbers, and then the next week you have half the crowd. Adrian Rogers used to say, you know, Easter is really, it's crazy because Easter is the one day that seals an unbeliever's doom. They come to church on Easter, but, you know, God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So when you celebrate the resurrection of the dead and you're not a Christian, you're celebrating the fact that God is one day going to raise you up, and God is going to judge you. Because of what reason? You did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is salvation in no one else, and you didn't put your faith and trust in Him. You didn't turn from sin and turn to the Savior. You wanted to do it your own way, and the theme song of hell is the Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. Well, if you do it your way, you're going to spend forever in hell. The scripture says of Cain, woe to them, they have gone the way of Cain. The way of Cain is doing it your own way. If we don't do it God's way, we're never going to come. There's only one way to come to God, and that's His way.
Well, you know, the church, the local church has just always played such a vital role in our lives, even before you were called into ministry. I mean, we have just, as a couple, we have always been plugged into a local church. And we've often discussed the fact that, you know, when you're going through a difficult time, a hard time, a loss, a diagnosis that just kind of pulls the rug out from underneath you, a different tragic situation, it's like, I don't know how people do it that don't have a church family there to help support them, to help pray for them, to help come to their aid. Because, you know, there's no perfect church there. That does not exist. So you're never going to find a place where, you know, you just love everything all the time. That's just not going to happen. But to be plugged in and to be involved and to be accountable and to learn and grow with other people, to have community with fellow believers, to build each other up, to encourage each other, to pray for each other, to be there for each other, that just can't be replaced. The world and our culture cannot replace that.
No.
And I know for us, because we've had different times where we have not lived near family, the church has always been our family. And it breaks my heart to see people who try to live so independently, like on their own little island, because there's so much there in a local body to bring so much joy and to bring so much fulfillment and just fellowship into your life.
Well, and so as we talk about those decisions in order, so repentance and faith, baptism, church membership, and then the fourth one, because I know I was looking at a congregation of people that are like, yeah, I've done that. And the fourth one is the one that gets a lot of people. It's that you're going to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. As Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it says in Acts 2, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. So the sad reality for many, many Christians, we start out excited, we start out on fire, we're witnessing, we're studying, we're learning, we're growing, we're enjoying the fellowship, we're enjoying the teaching and just being around God's people, and it is awesome. And then what happens? Over time, we drift away from the Lord. Other things take first place. As Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, I have this against you. You have left your first love. And here's what Charles Lowry told me just last week when he was with us. He said, whatever happens in the church over time, people become more like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. We become Pharisaical. We become mean. We become critical. We become unloving. We become unforgiving. We become selfish. It's all about me. It's all about what I like. It's the opposite of what we need to become. We need to become more and more like Jesus, not more and more like us. And so, sad but true, there are just people that come to my mind that's like, okay, you've been in church for a long time. I don't want to be like you. Mm-hmm. You're not a nice person. You're not, the sweet aroma of the knowledge of the Lord is not on your life. You have missed it. So you've been saved, so you've been baptized, so you're a church member, but you quit growing a long time ago, and nobody's coming to Christ through your life. And nobody's seeing Jesus in your life. You're just going through the motions. You've become a Pharisee. And I think that's the danger for all of us. We become the older brother in the prodigal son story. And that's really why Jesus told the story. It was for the benefit of the Pharisees. And they were cut to the quick when he exposed them. That's who you are. You're not rejoicing with the Father. You hate the younger brother. You think that the Father ought to kick him out, and it's all about you. Well, you've never given me a young goat to have a party with my friends, that kind of thing. So I guess the question would be, Debbie, why is it like that?
Well, I think over time, people have a tendency, and we all do, we have a tendency to let other things bump up in our priority list. And so we've talked about this on the broadcast before, that our number one thing in life is our vertical relationship with the Lord, then our horizontal relationships. And I think all too often we get so caught up in all those horizontal relationship and our work and our hobbies and all these other things that we just diminish our relationship with the Lord. And we have an enemy who's prowling around out there who would like nothing better than to keep us distracted from that vertical relationship with the Lord. And I think that we have to just be very intentional about that and about keeping that a priority of not letting too many days go by where we aren't spending time in the Word, where we aren't spending time in prayer, because it's very easy to become complacent, because to live this Christian life, we're salmon swimming upstream, right, in our culture. And so it takes a lot of energy to do that, and it takes intentionality to do that. And we have an enemy out there who wants to distract us.
Well, I think a good test to ask yourself is, do you have joy when one sinner repents? When you see people getting baptized at church, what does that do to your heart? When you hear of a testimony of this person who is in deep sin and comes to Christ, and does that rejoice your heart? And if not, something has seriously derailed in your life, because as the father told the elder brother, "We had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has now been found." Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. When we come back, we'll take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you about these key decisions and about how to stay on fire for Jesus. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
The tornadoes that twisted across parts of the Midwest and Mid-South left an aftermath of overwhelming destruction and grief. Now, chaplains from the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team are there in the midst of the devastation, sharing the hope and love of Jesus Christ with those who are suffering. God is at work. You can find out how on Facebook. Search for Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, sharing hope in crisis.
Hello, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. As many of you know, Hurricane Ian devastated southwest Florida late last year, making landfall as a Category 4 hurricane and leaving tens of thousands of families in need of help. Hurricane Ian caused over $110 billion of damage, but today we're excited to announce that 8 Days of Hope 19 will take place in Fort Myers, Florida from May 20th to the 27th, bringing much-needed relief to these families in need. We'll be focusing on roofing and drywall, mechanicals, painting, and so much more. If you love to use your gifts to serve those in need, we invite you to join us. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. Everyone is invited regardless of your skill set or your age. If you can't volunteer, we invite you to pray for this outreach. Pray that the families we serve would see God glorified as we rebuild their homes. For additional information regarding this rebuilding trip and how to get involved, please visit 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it. And we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife Debbie, and we're talking about key decisions, the four key decisions from Acts chapter 2, repent and believe, be baptized, be a part of the church, join the church, and then grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, I mentioned in the second segment about my good friend Dr. Rich Halcombe and his book, The Leadership Strategy of Jesus. I have 10 of these to give away. Living Intentionally in Ministry and Life is the subtitle, and Dr. Rich was very gracious to provide these for From His Heart listeners and our Real Truth for Today listeners. So just go to book@fromhisheart.org, and we'll send you a copy of this one if you are in the 10 that get selected. So love to send this to you. I think it'll be a really blessing to you, in a real big blessing to you for living intentionally in ministry and in life. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And Debbie, you have something to say?
Well, I was just thinking, coming off of that last segment, you know, where we were talking about how people grow stale in their relationship with their Lord, and they just kind of stagnate and they don't continue to grow. And, you know, maybe you're listening today, and if you're being really honest, that describes maybe where you are right now. But the good news is you don't have to stay there. Uh-huh. You know, you can ask the Lord to do a fresh work in your heart, to give you a hunger and a thirst for Him, to give you the desire to desire His word more than your necessary food. I mean, you can ask the Lord, and because we know that is His will for our lives, He is going to be faithful to answer that prayer. Mm-hmm. When we pray that with a sincere heart. And, you know, I think we all go through times in our Christian life where we're not as close to the Lord maybe as we were the week or the month before. I mean, that happens to everybody. And I think the key is you just can't stay there. You have to recognize that, ask the Lord to do a new and a fresh work within you to expand your heart, to be able to love Him more, and to be able to just fully surrender to Him.
Right. Amen. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have Naomi on the line from Pennsylvania. Naomi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. Yes, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I even, you know, sometimes forced before my two daughters, Elizabeth and Rosaline, when they was a little younger, to listen to the sermons, you know, at 7 o'clock. We see it as a family. And sometimes, you know, my older daughter, Elizabeth, you know, she said, oh, you know, Mom, I had to do a homework, I had to do this. If I fail you, it's going to be your fault. And I say, you can give me at least 10 minutes. So come on over and sit with us in the living room so you can listen to him. So she wasn't too happy, but she's one of my prodigal daughters, so please pray for her. Mm. She needed a lot of prayer. She was baptized, and, you know, she just wanted to walk with the devil, hands to hands, and, you know, in the world, and listen to all the lies that the devil tell her to, you know, to whisper on her ear, and that she leave behind, you know, her first love. So please pray for her. She needs a lot of prayer. Her name is Elizabeth.
Okay.
And my question for you is, earlier you said that the jailer, she wasn't baptized.
No, he was baptized. I said that when the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, because in the verse 33, you know, he says that then, you know, he was baptized with his family. So, you know, it needs to be like you preaching, you know, right now. It needs to be, you know, baptism after you come, you know, to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize that you are a sinner. Because that's what show us, you know, that we belong to the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's sad, you know, that a lot of people, you know, like David says, that the early in life, you know, they are baptized, and they say, oh man, you know, why did I be, without realizing they, at that time they wasn't saved.
Right.
So there are a lot of people, you know, like that inside of the church, that they say, you know, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to be baptized, but then, you know, they walk hands to hands, you know, with the devil, walking in sin. And that's what really happened with my daughter, Elizabeth. So please, I ask you and your wife to pray for her so she can come, you know, and recognize that she led the Holy Spirit, you know, in a better position. You know what I mean? In front of everybody.
How old is she, Naomi?
She's 26, and my younger daughter, Rosaline, is 24. She believes in more, and she's more sensitive of the things of the Lord, Rosaline. And even Elizabeth, you know, sometimes she's no longer living with me because she walked away of the house. She said, I want to leave the house and I want to independent myself. And I say, to be independent is one thing, but to walk hands to hands with the devil and walking in sin is another thing. So please, give me a lot of prayer. That's what I want to say.
All right. Well, let's pray for her right now, Naomi. Father in heaven, we trust you. We love you. We thank you that you're a God who listens to our prayers, who answers our prayers, and we pray according to your will that you would just turn Elizabeth's life around, that you'd open her eyes to truth, that you would bring her to her senses and convict her heart of sin, and show her that, Lord, you have grace that is greater than all our sin, that you want to do great and mighty things in our life. Lord, your word says that it's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. So I pray, God, that she would see that. I pray that she would leave the life she's living of sin and self, and just to do it her own way and come your way. And God, that you would just give such comfort to her mom. And I thank you that her mom has a heart to see her daughter come to Jesus fully and completely. And so, Lord, we ask you to just bring salvation. We ask you to bring change. We ask you to just do a miracle of on the inside, Lord, and change her from the inside out by the power of your Spirit. We trust you, Lord, and we know that you are the God who is able in all situations. And we just pray for her eyes to be open and for her to respond, her will to be broken, to do your will. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Naomi. Thank you for that call. Well, we have Dwayne on the line from Mississippi. Dwayne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My question is, I just wanted y'all's opinion about a situation that me and my wife are in. She's got dementia. Both of us have problems with incontinence. We have to watch ourselves, where we go, where we're at, and all that. And we haven't been able to go to church now for over a year. We have been when we thought maybe we could go, but we'd end up having to either go to the bathroom or something during the worship service. So, now it's got to the point to where she can't control herself at all. And in order to keep from messing pews up and being embarrassed by the situation and everything, and the members of the church understand that too. But what I wanted to talk to you about, it does bother me that we can't.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, Dwayne. And I mean, there are special circumstances for sure that keep us away. And that's one of the reasons why I've always loved television and radio and media, because you can reach people that are shut in for physical issues, people that are in prison, people that are in hospital situations or what have you. And so in that instance, then that television church, that radio ministry becomes a lifeline, and we want to be there for people like that. And so, my heart goes out to you in that. And so, you have the situation that the Lord has allowed to come into your heart and into your life, and you say, okay, Lord, these are the cards I've been dealt, so to speak, and I'm going to keep praising you. I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to keep living for you and doing all that I can with the limitations that I'm under. But I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to curse God and die. I'm going to keep trusting you, and I'm going to keep seeking you and just believing you for good things. As David said, I would have despaired unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So that would be my prayer for you, Dwayne, and for your sweet wife. May God minister his grace to you guys. And I thank you so much for listening and for calling in today. Well, we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff and Debbie. How are y'all today?
We're great. Very good. How are you?
Good. I really thought it was a great opportunity this morning to ask a question I've been wanting to ask someone at AFR that hosts so many of the good shows that I listen to, and I think y'all y'all triggered the prompted me with your comments about the concert on Thursday night. And the question is, I kind of know how Jesus thinks about it, but I don't know, I don't understand why, and why Sunday morning is the most segregated time in our American culture, and how we can go from I was raised in a very generous, wonderful church that was very program intensive and all, but they taught how to minister and how to love and how to do missions all over the world. But then the inherent closed-mindedness to people worshiping together was something that became, or that was it was an issue then, and I think it still is today. I don't know, is that a corporate sin issue that's handed down to the third and fourth generation, or is it individual sins just all stacked together? What is the deal with why that can't be more of a breakthrough in through the churches today?
Yeah, good question, and I think it's probably multitude of answers there. Here's how I look at it, Scott. So I think people go to church. They ask two questions: are there people here like me, and do the people here like me? And so we tend, just as human beings, we tend to gravitate toward things that we're familiar with and things that we know, and we tend to kind of shy away from things that we're not familiar with and things that we don't know, because those make us nervous. And so I think when it comes to church, obviously there's some churches that are really missing the boat here, because church needs to be a welcome place for everybody. But churches do have a particular culture, and so people are going to go where they feel comfortable with the culture. That's why, you know, we have a Korean church, for instance, Korean Baptist Church, or it's people that, whether they're going to speak that language or they're just familiar with that culture, and so they flock there, and it's not going to attract a lot of people that are not of that culture, or obviously that don't speak that language. It's wonderful when the family of God gets together, and in heaven, we're all going to be able to understand the languages, and we can all worship together, and that's a beautiful thing. But the culture needs to be one of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And when that happens, you're right. Church has become very segregated. You know, black churches have mostly black people, and white churches, so many of them, have mostly white people. And when we get together as brothers and sisters in Christ and all the colors in between, it's a beautiful thing. So, Debbie, anything?
No, I think you answered that beautifully.
All right. So the great question, Scott. Well, we just have a minute or so left. Jeremiah from North Carolina. Jeremiah, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Real Truth for Today.
All right. How are you?
Good.
All right. So I had a question. I've been listening. It's my first time listening to the radio station. I've been enjoying it, to the podcast.
Good. Thank you.
I heard you make a statement that you put a lot of emphasis in regards to the believing aspect and repentance. Completely agree. That is 100% in Scripture. But the part that I kind of needed a little understanding in regards to was in regards to the baptism, because when the jailer was introduced into the story, when you were bringing it up, the Scripture says that as the jailer accepted the word of God, it was so important that he believed. But in that very same hour, they left jail, went and got baptized, and then went back to jail after baptizing the family. Right. And to me, that would be an example of showing just how important the baptism is in regards to the fact that you're going to leave jail to go back to jail.
Amen. Great word, Jeremiah. You're exactly right. It is critically important. It's just not essential for salvation. So that's the difference. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out, shine, and share, and God will use you. I'll be with you again tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.